Celebrate America's 250th with Dish. For a limited time, get an extra $250 off when you sign up. Call 888-ADD-DISH or visit dish.com today and use code DISH250 to claim your $250 savings. That's 888-ADD-DISH. Offer ends August 12th. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Asa Alrup skipped the sentencing. Her attorney said the day should belong to the families, and it should. But Asa's legal problems may have just started. Valerie Mack's son has filed a wrongful death lawsuit naming Asa, her daughter Victoria, and Rex, alleging they knew or deliberately avoided knowing what was happening inside that house. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor with us, to tell us if there's any teeth to a suit like this. The lawsuit doesn't just say Asa missed the signs. It says she actively concealed what was happening. Civil conspiracy. That's calling the wife of a serial killer his co-conspirator. What does have to be proven to make something like that stick?
Sure, Tony, and I've read the complaint, and respectfully, I think there are some problems with it legally.
Yeah.
To make that stick, you know, what they would have to prove is that Asa had an agreement with Rex. Now, it doesn't have to be an express agreement; it could be kind of implicit or whatever. But there was an agreement for her to provide material aid. She knew of the crimes he was committing, and she wanted to further them and somehow, including trying to conceal them. And that's a tall order. And when you look at the complaint, it has a lot of sort of somewhat bald allegations regarding that, but not a ton of details on it. And so, they're going to have to prove a lot to get there to say Asa was essentially complicit in all of this. You know, just saying it is one thing, but proving it's another.
Yeah, I'm curious because we've been talking about Asa so much in the last couple of weeks and in the last couple of days even more. And she seems to have these completely like very, very thick rose-colored glasses when looking at Rex. I can almost imagine him doing these things in front of her and her being blind to it because her blinders are so narrowly focused when regarding him. So what's a prosecutor going to be able to, even if they had a photo of her, I mean, watching this, is that enough? In other words, what do they need to be able to prosecute this? If her context, I mean, I guarantee you she could pass a polygraph most likely because she doesn't internally believe it, that these things ever happened or that he ever did them or she was ever present for him, whatever the charge is going to be on it. And so outside of that, how does her context of what happened really play into the prosecution?
Well, you know, they'd have to prove her knowledge, her agreement with Rex, and her providing some kind of material aid. So that can come in the form of witness statements. I mean, if Rex were to turn on her and say, hey, yeah, I told Asa about this, and then we had an agreement, she'd help me cover it up. And then she took these acts, X, Y, and Z. She provided me these supplies. Here are the receipts. Here are the text messages. Here are the emails, something like that. That would be the type of evidence we'd be looking for.
Oh, so that's an interesting. So let's go down that one a little bit. I'm sorry, my conjecture road. So I don't imagine a world where he probably openly discussed these things with her, sent her text because he's a smart guy about this, and it would probably fly right over her head because she's got it blocked out. But this material aid is an interesting one. What if they were able to show through purchases and stuff that she actually was tasked by Rex to go out and purchase things for decapitating, for all the horrendous sadistic things he was doing, that she actually made purchases or was aware of those purchases? Is that enough?
She would have to be knowingly aiding him in the commission of a crime.
There's
simply saying, hey, can you go purchase this saw or something? That wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. And that's where it gets into tricky territory. I was wondering the same thing, because providing aid and concealment of crimes, people can do both of those things and not be aware that they're providing aid or concealing a crime at the same point if that context is lifted. So the awareness piece is the lever that the prosecution and that would need to pull and need to make the jury feel that, yes, she was certainly aware. But I guess, Is there a line ever that courts draw, even when the person says, I had no idea that I was doing this? I mean, a simple example would be like, hey, honey, my clothes are real dirty. And she washes his clothes. I'm not saying this happened. I'm just, for a pure conjecture example, she washes the clothes and they had blood on them. And she doesn't ask any questions. She just does it. Let's say she saw blood, but doesn't ask any questions. Is that awareness, or is that, I could see Asa just being like, oh, you know, it's red paint, or she telling herself some bullshit so right. She doesn't have to mentally go to where the evidence that's sitting right in front of her screaming at her actually is. Where does the court say, you're an effing idiot if you don't think that this
how do you
was,
prove awareness?
You know, like if he was doing like the Brian Walsh Home Depot run with barrels.
That's why I used that example too. Yeah.
I mean, if she was on camera buying all this shit, and then it's like, there's no, what did you think he was doing with these things? You never saw them. He wasn't like making a compost pile in the backyard with leaves and you never saw him do it. What do you think? I mean, where is the line here where the court says, I'm sorry, your stupidity argument or ignorance argument just doesn't fly?
Sure. It's a great question, because on so many accomplice cases, you know, the accomplice who's caught says, oh, I didn't know they were doing crimes over there. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, you see this, you see drugs lying around and you see them getting money and there's scales. And then they ask you to buy a bunch of baggies. Well, you probably did know. The line here, Tony, is it's defined differently in different states. But in Colorado, where I practice, knowingly is being practically certain that such circumstances exist. So that's a pretty high bar. And just seeing some blood, just seeing some suspicious circumstances, that probably doesn't get you there. But if there were further conversations, if there were acknowledgments from Asa in some form, text, email, statements to her daughter, something, that might get you over that threshold. But it's really, is the person practically certain that such circumstances exist, meaning that a crime was going on? Simply saying some blood, man, it's probably not enough. A guy could have been in a butcher shop. He could have been, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a pure example. I just wonder, it's just like where, and it's up for interpretation, I'm sure. It's up to that judge to say, this is the line. I like your example. It was great with the scales and all that. They're not baking cookies. That's not cornstarch over there. That's, you know.
But at this point, given what we've seen of this, you know, she'd probably believe it. I mean, she believes he's a knight in shining armor, you know, and she, I mean, even after all she's bared witness to throughout their lives. And we saw it, you know, like it or hate it, you know, Peacock did a really great job, you know, kind of giving us an arc of her for at least a period of time from her own statements. She seems just as much infatuated with him. I don't want to, her definition of love, we went through this yesterday, is a little bit different, but she's as infatuated with him today as she was when she first met him, it seems like. And so I think her ability to recognize what's right in front of her is low. That's why I think this is, it's a challenging civil lawsuit, because I don't think you're going to get anything. And even if you did, it's easy to defend. She's clueless.
And the DA's office has cleared Asa. So the civil case, and there's plenty of times where, you know, the DA clears somebody and there's still a civil case. That's what happens a lot. But it does make me wonder about just, you know, how strong that case can possibly be, and where it might go, considering that they didn't have anything. But it does make me wonder, too, there's limited resources in that DA's office. They got a lot of cases to prosecute. I mean, we're talking about Long Island. We're talking about New York. We're talking about it's a country unto itself, the amount of people in the area. So there's a lot of priorities. It does make me wonder. And Eric, tell me this. Have you ever seen cases where you have, you know, the big one, they got him, and they're looking down the road at Asa going, yeah, I mean, if we really dig, if we spend hundreds and thousands of hours digging into her, maybe we'll find some snippet that looks like she may have had some sort of awareness here. But the best we're going to get out of it is you know, a very small sentence or just a penalty of some sort that is minuscule. And it's not worth spending all of that time just to get there with her. And they're rolling the dice going, I'm going to guess there's not more than possibly that. Do they ever just, they got their big fish and the other one, it's not worth it. Go ahead. You're going to go, you know, flop around out here anyhow. You're probably not a danger to anyone. He was the real danger. And they just don't go further. Could that be what's going on in this too?
Look, these offices have limited resources. They have an oppressive caseload, especially in a large metropolitan district like that. And so they've got to make judgment calls. They've got to say, hey, what does justice look like here? Is justice, you know, we already got the big fish, like you said. Does justice require us to spend another, you know, millions of dollars potentially and years going after this small fry for whom there might be shaky evidence? We don't have enough now. Should we really proceed with that? Is that in the community's best interest? Then the best interest of justice, and in terms of the victims' families and things like that. You know, what more do the victims' families get if Asa is convicted? Yeah. I'm not sure that it'd be a really meaningful benefit to them. I don't know, but I'm not sure.
I mean, does Asa have anything to worry about with civil discovery here? If you know, I'm wondering if somewhat of the DA is almost indirectly outsourcing the investigation into Asa, into the civil world. And should, I mean, who knows what could come up in civil discovery? This has happened before, where a civil case unearths some evidence that the original investigation did not find. And it turns out, oh, what could we found here? That's criminal. All conjecture, not saying she did anything illegal. But if the civil case in discovery somewhere does find criminal behavior, could that lead then to criminal charges against her as they were discovered indirectly through the civil case?
It's possible. And you know, you on the criminal side, so they're looking into Rex, right? And of course, they're investigating Asa and everybody else. But, you know, did they do a complete download of all of Asa's devices for more than 10-year span? I'm not sure they did that. I'm not sure they reviewed it. On the civil side, though, that they could request all of those digital forensics and say, hey, we need any emails, text messages, voicemails, internet searches for the past 20 years. And depends on what the judge would do. There'd probably be some limitations, but that might uncover information that the prosecutors either didn't seek or didn't look at or something like that. So it's possible that more could come out and that could be to the legal detriment of us.
And help me also understand the civil lawsuit side against Victoria, the daughter, who was, you know, at best a mid-teenager when these crimes took place. How does that make her civilly liable? I mean, can you go after an underage kid for being civilly liable for the murder of anyone?
You can. An underage person can have civil liability. But under these circumstances, what are they saying that this daughter knew? Yeah. What are they saying that she assisted with? I've read the complaint. It's pretty just sort of these vague accusations all of these defendants were proximal to what happened and they allowed access to the premises and things like this. But there's nothing terribly specific in there. And I just don't see how the daughter could be looped in civilly, criminally, or otherwise.
And what are you going to get? They got nothing except the house they just remodeled that everyone wants to tear down. I mean, I get the pain they're trying to get restitution for, but it's rough.
Well, and I wonder with Victoria too. I mean, is the civil lawsuit kind of like let's throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks? Like maybe Victoria will be, you know, taken off the lawsuit at some point if they're only going to find Asa to be viable to go at. I don't know. I mean, sometimes you see that where a lot of people are being sued at once. And then as it processes through court, it's like, yeah, not her. She's really not part of this. But the other one does. I mean, it also feels like a pretty weak suit if you're just kind of throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks and don't have any real, clear, solid information. And you're just hoping that maybe you're going to find some stuff in discovery.
One thing I'm wondering along those lines, Tony, is, you know, Victoria's still pretty young in age. She's dealt with this massive nationally publicized trauma regarding her family for quite some time now. And now she's struck with a civil lawsuit, requesting probably millions of dollars in damages. That might freak out a young person. And are they sort of betting on the possibility that Victoria is going to get scared and she's going to do something abrupt and unpredictable that young people might do, like try to protect herself and say, oh gosh, well, you know, if I give you information or if I make up information or something, am I going to get out of this? Can I please move on with my life? How do I do that? Is it talking with you guys in an interview and telling you what you want to hear? Oh, if so, you know, me in my 20s, I need to be done with this. I could see a young person being scared into doing that. And perhaps that's sort of an intimidation tactic here on behalf of plaintiff's counsel. I can't say for sure, but those things happen.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of roads that could be gone down here. And again, we're not saying Victoria had anything to do case. I feel horrible for that young woman. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, this is the world she was brought into and she's, you know, trying to navigate this utter shit show. But it does make sense. I mean, I'm wondering if she is being used as a lever to get information, not so much as a way to let's go punish you, but let's scare the living shit out of you even more. And see what else you can tell us that maybe she's even unaware that she's may tell. Depositions could be very interesting in a case like this. If we get there what's in the actual suit itself, is there a risk here that we don't even get that far, that they don't even get to depositions, that a judge at some point just says, yeah, no, we're not going to go down this road unless you got something that is showing us some solid shit. We're not going to do it. Or in a civil case, is it much easier to get into those deposition stages before the judge says yay or nay?
You know, I would anticipate seeing a motion from defense to throw out some or all of these claims rather soon. In reviewing them, you know, I look and we'll talk about this soon, but if like the unjust enrichment claim, I think there are legal problems with that. The civil conspiracy claim, there are legal problems just on the face of the complaint and that just don't meet that might not meet the threshold for the case to move forward. And I could see a judge looking at it. And then, you know, you add in sort of the dynamics of what's going on in the case and all the national exposure, a judge might say, hey, this is going to stop here because of legal insufficiency. That would not be shocking to me, especially after reading that complaint.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube on our conversation thus far on the Gilgo Beach killer Rex Huerman and Asa and Victoria and the whole family and everybody that is experiencing the hell that is this. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.